How's everybody? Yeah? Great. So, how many people have heard of the name Daniel? I see how you pronounce the last name. Daniel McCammon. No one? How about Andrew Oswald? No one? Neither had I. Daniel Comic-Con, or whatever his name is, however you pronounce it, McCammon, whatever his name is, he is a behavioral economist. He is a Nobel Prize-winning behavioral economist. Now, I have no idea what a behavioral economist even is, but apparently you can win a Nobel Prize for being one. Andrew Oswald is a British economist. And the interesting thing about both of these economists is that they did studies around an assumption that a lot of people make about things that we pursue in life that we believe will make us happy or bring satisfaction or bring fulfillment. I don't know if you know anybody like this, but have you ever noticed that there are people who live their lives as if the next season or the next thing will bring satisfaction, will bring happiness, will bring fulfillment. And in the process, you kind of lose the joy of the current season. Anybody know anybody like that? Yeah, it's something that happens. We tend to think that the next thing, the next accomplishment, the next mountain, the next hill, the next will bring satisfaction, happiness, and fulfillment. And so what happens for us is that we are always looking for the next season. We are always looking for the next thing. And while there is wisdom in looking for the next thing and looking into the future and planning and being wise and all of that, there is a trap in continually being so consumed with the next season that you miss out on the current season. Anybody ever been so focused on the next season that you missed out on the current season? Then you understand what happens. For example, a lot of people make the assumption that parenting will bring them satisfaction, happiness, and fulfillment. Study after study shows this is not the case. The behavioral economist, he did a survey and a study that showed parenting ranked 16th out of 19 potentially satisfying activities in life. 16th out of 19th is what parenting did. The British economist Andrew Oswald, his study revealed that the more children you have, the less happy you are. Now, that could be just a British thing, but because he was a British economist, but yet we tend to think that, and the reason we think this is when we become so consumed about the next season and all of that bringing happiness, who are we looking for it to bring happiness, satisfaction, and fulfillment to? Me. See, what happens is me becomes the focus. And let's go back to our example of parenting. How long did it take, for those of you that have been parents, how long, or for those of you who have ever seen a parent, okay? How long did it take before you realized that parenting wasn't about me? As a matter of fact, when you become a parent, me goes out the door. And all of life suddenly is no longer about me. But this is how we tend to live. We tend to live as if the next season will bring the happiness, satisfaction, and fulfillment. And so we continue down that path. And what happens is not only do we miss the joy of the current season, we miss out on so much of what God desires for us and what God wants for us. The early church leader, Paul, in a letter that he wrote to the first century church in Corinth, talks about a shift of mindset, a shift of perspective that moves us from focusing on the next season to focusing on what we do, how we do, what we do in the current season. And so here's what he wrote to them. And this one sentence that Paul wrote serves as kind of an anchor for the entire message today. We're going to look at a little bit that Paul wrote around it, but this is the key. If you're one who dozes off regularly during this time, doze off after this, okay? But don't doze off during this. So here's what Paul wrote. So, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. It's almost like Paul is saying that no matter what we do, it can be done for the glory of God. If you happen to spill and you're cleaning up a spill, there is a way that that can be done for the glory of God. If you're being taxi service to your kids or your grandkids, there's a way to do that for the glory of God. Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And typically, what we do is, whatever we do it for the glory of me. We do it for the attention for me. We do it for the betterment of me. And even when we do something for other people, isn't oftentimes the focus of me in play? I have struggled with this in recent weeks. As many of you know, we moved into a new home in July. When we moved into that home, we discovered that there was more work there to do than we anticipated. And so we've been doing a lot of that work. And when I say we, I mean me. One of the things that I'm doing is I'm redoing the basement as a space for the kids. And there have been multiple conversations that have centered around the me listing the things that I've done and compared what I've done to what a couple of other people in our house haven't done. There was a day where I said, I repainted half the basement, I did this, I did 4 loads of laundry, I did this, and every time I came up, you were sitting there on your phone or on your computer watching videos. And here's the thing, here's why I bring this up, not to guilt them publicly, though that's just kind of like a fringe benefit at this point. It's to make this point that there was even a day where I looked at Denise and I go, just so you know, I'm no longer doing this basement for them. I'm doing it for you because you're the one that will appreciate what I've done and the work that I've put in and all of that. Now, in reality, we bought this house for a basement for them. But in the process of getting it ready, what happened in the work is all of the work became about me. You see how easy it happens? How subtle the focus of me can slide into the process and then overwhelm the process and consume the process and actually can wind up doing relational damage in the process. You see, the focus of me, when I do whatever I do for the glory of me, it almost always leads to an unhealthy place. But when I shift my focus, when I shift my focus from all the things that I did to how did the 4 loads of laundry and the painting the basement and the 7 other things I did that day, how could those things have been used in some ways for God's glory in those around me or maybe just even in my own heart? It's a radically different approach when we say, whatever I do, whether I'm cleaning toilets or changing diapers or taxi service or cooking dinner or doing laundry or paying the basement or whatever it is, my focus in doing this is to in some way bring God glory. Now, one of the other things that has happened as I've been redoing some stuff in the basement is sometimes, but typically I'm not one who does that stuff, and I don't put like AirPods in and listen to music and do all that stuff. Pretty much it's quiet. And so I've had a lot of time to pray and think and reflect and all of that, and really just try in some ways to spend some time with God while I'm painting. And I know some conversations that Danielle, my daughter, and I were able to have out of that for me to come and say, hey, I was thinking about this while I was painting today, and I just wanted to talk to you about it, let you know that this is how Dad feels and all that. And I think those have been healthy and productive conversations. But it's when I recalibrate and take the focus off of me and put the intention on God that things change, right? Right? Yeah. So Paul then, a little later in this letter, he goes on to talk about a focus that he has about himself in relationship to all the things that he does for God's glory. And here's what he says. He says, "For I am the least of all the apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted God's church." So before becoming a follower of Jesus, Paul's goal in life was to persecute the Jesus way, to persecute followers of Jesus, to put an end to the Jesus movement is what Paul wanted to do. That, and he did that and went to great lengths to do that. But then there was a moment where Paul had a personal encounter with Jesus. And when Paul has a personal encounter of Jesus, everything changed for him. When he had a personal encounter with Jesus, he went from being a persecutor of the Jesus way to being a promoter of the Jesus way. In fact, Paul became the primary leader in the early early church. Paul wrote what is believed to be 2/3 of the New Testament part of the Bible as letters to churches that he had helped launch during his time after meeting with Jesus. The time that Paul's talking about here is what Paul is saying is there was a time in his life where he wasn't so good. He believed he was good and he thought he was doing good, but then when he had a encounter with Jesus, it radically shifted his perspective on what good was. And he changed his approach to life, and all of a sudden it wasn't about him and what he believed, it was about him and what he believed in relationship to Jesus. And everything became about helping people follow Jesus. And so for people like me, and maybe for people like some of you, there's good news in this. Because have you ever felt or thought that there was a time in life where you weren't that good? You know, you might say, yeah, you know, I get Paul back in the first century and all of that, but Paul probably didn't do the things that I did. If Paul had done the things I did, God would say he wasn't worthy either. Okay, so Paul persecuted the early church. Paul traveled the region having people put in prison for being followers of Jesus. Paul traveled the region even having people put to death for being followers of Jesus. So no matter what you've done, no matter how ungood you think you are, God's grace still extends to you. That even when you feel unworthy, even when you feel the least of, even when you feel that, God's grace still reaches out to you. And if you need an example of that, just look to Paul. Paul says, for I am the least of all the apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted God's church. There was a time in my life where I wasn't good. And then Paul goes on to tell us a little bit more about what this transformation in his life took place. He says, next slide, there we go. But whatever I am now, it is all because God poured out his special favor on me, and not without results. One translation phrases the first part of this sentence, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. So Paul says, I'm the least of the apostles, not even worthy, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Whatever I am now, it is because of God's grace. It's not because of me. It's not because of what I've done. It's because of what God has done and what Jesus has done for me that I could never do for myself. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Anybody know any other historical figure that's famous for the phrase, I am what I am? He was strong to the finish because he ate his spinach. He's Popeye the Sailor Man. If you're under the age of 35, go out to YouTube, Google Popeye, or search Popeye the Sailor Man, and you'll find who Popeye the Sailor Man. Popeye was not a sophisticated guy. Popeye was a spinach-eating, pipe-smoking, olive oil-loving guy. And Popeye owned his story. When Popeye didn't know what to do or didn't know what to think, Popeye would just look around and go, I am what I am, and that's all I am. But when Popeye said that, there was also kind of a hint of sadness, because Popeye almost always used that phrase in relationship to his failures and shortcomings and inadequacies. When we take I am what I am as our approach to life, sometimes there's a hint of sadness because it doesn't leave a lot of room for growth and hope and change. I am what I am was a starting point for Paul. Paul says, I am what I am. I am a persecutor of the church. That was his starting point. But by the grace of God, I am what I am now. I am no longer the persecutor of the church because of Jesus. I am no longer the way I was because God's grace poured out on me was not poured out on me without effect. There's a time where I am what I am, but God's grace was poured out on me, and it is not without effect. It changes things. It changes my perspective. It changes me. It changes my approach. And if we're brutally honest, there are days where this is not easy. There are days where, but whatever I am now, it is all because of God's grace and special favor poured out on me, and it's not without result. And then there are other days, maybe even moments in the same day, where I am what I am, the way I used to be. I still got upset. I still didn't handle this right. I still failed. I still hit my shortcoming just the way that I didn't want to. I still failed here and hurt this person and said this and did this. I am what I am. But God says, I am what I am now because of my grace poured out on you. Will we get it right? Will we get it perfect? No. But if we just sit in I am what I am now, then there is no hope for change and growth and grace. God's grace poured out on us should not be without effect. God's grace should transform I am what I am into who God wants me to be. His special favor, His grace poured out on people like me and people like you. God loves you enough to pour out His grace, to give us what we don't deserve, to give us His best. One of the definitions of grace is God giving us His best when we deserve the worst. And God has poured out that grace, and it should not be without effect. And this wasn't easy for Paul. There were times for Paul where this wasn't comfortable. This change in direction, this change in perspective, this change in approach, there were times where this was so incredibly difficult for Paul. Paul was physically beaten multiple times, brutally, physically beaten as a follower of Jesus. At least 45 times Paul was beaten. Paul was imprisoned. Paul was shipwrecked. Paul was bitten by a poisonous snake and left for dead. And in any one of those encounters, Paul could have said, but I am what I am now by the grace of God isn't worth it. I'll just simply go back to being what I was before. But God's grace wasn't without effect. God's grace wasn't without hope. God's grace wasn't without change. And so I am what I am now. And when I get shipwrecked, I'm going to get back on the next ship, and I'm going to travel to the next place, and I'm going to tell the next the people at the next place about Jesus, and I'm going to invite them to follow Jesus, because God's grace to me was not without effect, and I'm not going to let a shipwreck stand in the way of me doing what God wants me to do and becoming who God wants me to become. And when I get thrown in prison, and the prison guard comes and puts me in chains in the prison, because God's grace to me is not without effect, I'm going to invite that prison guard who's putting me in chains to follow Jesus. I'm going to tell the prison guard, shackling me to the wall of the prison, in the deepest, darkest part of the dungeon, I'm going to tell that person about Jesus, and I'm going to invite them to follow Jesus, because God's grace to me was not without effect. And when I'm imprisoned, I'm going to write letters to churches, the churches that I helped launch, the people in Ephesus, the people in Philippi, the people in Corinth, the people in Thessalonica, the people in Rome, all these people where I've traveled this journey and I've gone and I've helped start churches, I'm going to write letters to them to encourage them. And in the case of the Corinthians, chastise them because they just screwed it up. Oh, and Philemon. The guy Philemon, I'm going to write a letter on his behalf to Onesimus and try to say, check his freedom up to my account, because God's grace to me was not without effect. Oh, and Timothy, that young stallion Timothy, I'm going to write him a couple of letters, and I'm going to encourage him. I'm going to let Timothy know that he shouldn't let anybody look down on him because of his youth, but he should lead, and he should do what God wants him to do. And he should make a difference in the lives of the older generation, even though he's younger, and even though they may look down on him, because God's grace to me was not without effect. God's grace poured out on Timothy was not without effect, and I'm going to encourage Timothy to affect the heck right out of those people. And Titus, I'm going to write him a letter too, just because I like saying his name. God's grace, I am what I am now. Whatever I am now, whether I'm in prison, whether I'm shipwrecked, whether I'm bit by a deadly snake, whether I'm shackled to the wall, whatever I am now. Because God's grace is poured out on me without effect is so much better than what I was before. And that cannot be without effect. Paul says, For I have worked harder than any of the other apostles, yet it was not I, but God who was working through me by his grace. Now, on the surface, this might seem a little me-focused. Well, I've worked harder than the rest of them. Look at all that I've done. Hey, look, I was shipwrecked, I was beaten, I was imprisoned, I was this, I traveled, I helped start this church and that church, and look at all the things that I've done. But then notice what Paul says. I have worked harder than all the apostles, but it was not I, but God was working through me by his grace. The credit for all that Paul had done, Paul gave to God. Paul said, whatever I've done, the churches, the traveling, the letters, the all, whatever I've done, it's all for the glory of God. Whatever I do for God's glory. It's not about me, but it's about God. And there will be times where this will not be easy. And there will be times where this will not be comfortable. And there will be times where there will be things that will try to distract us. All sorts of things that will try to distract us. Some of us will be distracted by the pillow. We just want things to be comfortable. Nice, plush, cushiony, soft. We shouldn't have any problems. No challenges in life. Smooth sailing. No shipwreck. Come on. How many of us know that's not the way life works? That life is not one big cushy pillow. Life has challenges. Life has difficulties. Life is uncomfortable. But yet we are distracted by the pursuit of comfort over God's grace not being without effect. So, some of us are distracted by the next shiny thing. And there are all sorts of next shiny things, right? Could be any number of things. You can pick them. We'll just use a car as an example. Just interesting story. We started a year ago looking at the possibility of replacing our van because, you know, you can't be intimidating in a minivan. If you don't remember that story from a while back, go archive or search the archive and see if you can find where I talk about not being able to be intimidating in a minivan. Anyway, we started looking at replacing our car. And as we started looking at replacing our car, we started listing the criteria of things that we would need in a car. And it was interesting how you start getting entrapped by the next shiny thing. You know, my first car, and here's the deal. I want you to understand this up front. The next shiny thing isn't wrong. It's okay to go buy a new car. We're going to have to buy a new car. I guarantee it's not going to be a brand new car. Anyway, it might be a 25-year-old car by the time we get down to the ones that we can afford. My first car, if you can believe this, my first car, my windows went up and down when I did this. Can you believe that? Man. Oh, my goodness. And then one day, I got a car where my windows went up when I did this. They went up and down when I pushed a button. I didn't have to do this anymore. And so guess what? I could never have a car where I had to do this again. I got to have the button now. Oh, and guess what? There was a day where I got a car and it had a sunroof. So not only did I just push a button, I could push another button and my car opened up top. So guess what? In a new car, guess what we got to have? We got to have windows that don't do this and a roof that opens. And guess what our van has? Unbelievable. This is unbelievable. Our van has heated seats. Our van has butt warmers. So guess what our next car has to have? Our next car has to have butt warmers. But not just in the front seat. The next car has to have butt warmers in the back seat too, because our kids have sat in the front with the butt warmers and now they want butt warmers in the back. I said, you do one less thing to help me in that basement, I'll warm your butt. Oh, and here's the thing. Oh, so it's got, I mean, if you got butt warmers, you got to have leather seats, right? And some of you know that in this season, I'm doing a lot to help my mom and dad through some of my dad's knee surgeries. If you're watching, hi. If not, and when I take him to appointments and stuff like that, we take his car because that's the easiest one for him to get in and out of the back seat. His car has a heated steering wheel. Man, I had that thing on, my hands got so hot I had to turn it off. But then the next time I got in and it was cold, I had to turn it back on. So guess what my next car has to have? I can't have just butt warmers, I got to have hand warmers. Okay, none of that's wrong, okay? If you got all those things and more on your car, good for you. That's not wrong. The point is that there's always another next shiny thing. You know, there's a button that opens my window, and then, you know, I had a truck one time where I actually had to unlatch the back window and move it manually. The truck I have now, I got a button. There's always a next shiny thing that we think will bring us happiness, satisfaction, and fulfillment. And guess what? When we get that one, there's another one. I mean, I went from a car that does this to now I got to have the hand-heated steering wheels. Because there's always the next shiny thing, whatever it is. We just used a car as an example because it was funny. Whatever it is, there's always another next shiny thing. And what we will eventually find is the next shiny thing will not bring us the happiness, satisfaction, and fulfillment that I am what I am because God's grace was poured out on me and my grace, and that grace was not without effect. You'll never have that. Some people are distracted by the towel. When we hit challenges, when life gets tough, when life gets uncomfortable, when things become more work than we anticipated them becoming, we want to just throw in the towel. The temptation to quit, the temptation to give up. And I don't know about you, but sometimes the temptation to throw in the towel isn't just a season, it's a daily thing. You just want to give up. You just want to quit. You just want to just move on to the next thing. Maybe the next thing. This thing has been disappointing. This thing has not worked out like I thought. This thing did not yield the results that I believe they would. And it's led me into this just, you know, and so I'll just throw in the towel here and I'll move on to the next thing. Maybe the next thing will bring happiness, satisfaction, and fulfillment. Right? When you pick your head up off the pillow in the morning, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. And I guarantee you, if you do it for the glory of God, His grace poured out on you will not be without effect. When you look at the next shiny thing, again, which is fine, go get the next shiny thing. It's okay. It really is. God does not mind us having money and stuff. Those of you that have been around for a while, finish this sentence for me. Let's just see how you do. God does not mind us having money and stuff. God minds money and stuff having us. Looks like I need to do that a little more than once a year. God doesn't mind us having the next shiny thing. God minds when the next shiny thing has us. So, but when you find the next shiny thing and you decide to buy the next shiny thing, instead of the next shiny thing bringing you joy, happiness, satisfaction, and fulfillment, figure out how the next shiny thing can be leveraged for God's glory. And when you're tempted to throw in the towel, when you're tempted to quit, maybe instead of throwing in the towel, maybe you bend down, pick up that towel, wipe the sweat off your brow, and get right back to doing what it is that God has given you to do. And maybe you're wanting to throw in the towel because you feel shipwrecked, or you feel imprisoned, or you feel inadequate, or you feel unworthy, or you feel the least of these. Whatever it is, maybe you bend down, pick up that towel, wipe the sweat off your brow, and get right back to doing what God wants you to do and becoming the person that God wants you to be. Because I am what I am. Because God's grace poured out on me is not without effect. And maybe you pick up the towel and you figure out how to use that towel to serve others just like Jesus did. When Jesus served his followers by taking off the towel and taking the towel and washing their feet and serving them. And when he did that, he gave them an example to follow. Because it wasn't about him. It was about them and their development and them discovering what it means to follow Jesus. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace was not without results. So whatever I am now, whatever I do now, it isn't me. It's God's grace working through me. And that's all I got. And that's all I can ever hold on to. Because if I am left to I am what I am now, before God's grace was poured out on me and embraced in my life, we might as well throw in the towel. But if I am what I am, because God's grace was poured out on me, and that grace is not without effect, then there is hope, there is change, and there is a future that's worth looking for. And not just a future worth looking for, but I can experience the joy of the now. I can experience the here and now, because in the here and now, I am what I am because of God's grace. The next accomplishment, the next achievement, the next may not bring the happiness, satisfaction, and fulfillment that I'm looking for, but that isn't what fills the void in my life. What fills the void in my life is God's grace poured out on me not without effect. So, by God's grace, I am what I am. Let me pray for you. Dear God, thank you for today. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for each and every person that is gathered here in person and each and every person that is watching online now and watching online later. And through everything, through whatever we have done today, may it all have been done for your glory. And may your grace poured out on us not be without effect. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.